Chapter 11. The Exchange. Step 4, Rejoice. Romans 12 verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We express true worship by offering ourselves to God as living sacrifices. We were created to worship, but so often our worship goes astray. Our hearts become fixed on worldly things, on other fallen people, on our own desires and plans, on earthly pleasures and comfort, on power and recognition, or on our own wisdom and understanding. Before we know it, God's gifts have become gods, and we have gone astray. We will experience increasing freedom when we let go of our false gods and let God be God. We will experience increasing peace when we stop striving to prove and defend ourselves. We will experience increasing joy when we let go of fear, worry, anger, and despair. And we will experience increasing power when we put God in His rightful place on the throne of our hearts. Only God is big enough to fill the inner void that He created in our hearts for Himself. Only God is strong enough to carry us through the pain of living in a fallen world. Only God is wise enough to lead us in the way we should go. Only God is worthy of our worship and our lives. God wants us to bring our requests to Him along with our worship. He wants us to acknowledge His goodness and wisdom, whether His answer to our prayer is yes, no, not now, or not that way. God calls us to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Worshiping God ushers us into His presence and opens the floodgates of heaven. When the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, Moses went to Pharaoh and proclaimed God's message to let my people go, so that they may worship me. God had chosen the Israelites to be His people and to be their God. He saw their distress, He heard their cries, and He moved to set them free. The physical slavery of the Israelites in Egypt is a picture of our own spiritual slavery to sin. God still sees the distress of His people, He still hears our cries, and He still comes to set us free so we can worship Him. We often connect worship with singing praises to God, but worship is so much more than just music. True worship includes fully and freely giving ourselves to God, in response to who He is and what He does for us. Let's look at the Message translation of Romans 12 verse 1, which says, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him." This verse says that we should give our everyday, ordinary lives to God. Not just our Sunday life, our prayer life, our spiritual life, or our Christian life, but our whole life. We express true worship by giving ourselves fully to God with no separation between the secular and the sacred. This means we are the same person on Monday that we are on Sunday. We are one whole person who is wholly devoted to God. This verse also says that we should place our lives before God as a gift. Not because we have to, or we should, or it's expected, but as a free will offering in response to who God is and His mercy to us. Finally, this verse says that we should embrace what God is doing for us. It pleases God when we offer our lives to Him with thankful hearts. It's easy to be thankful when life is going well. But thanking God when life is difficult is counterintuitive and countercultural. The world's way is to avoid suffering and pain at all costs. But God's way is to seek Him in the suffering and pain. Worshiping God in painful circumstances is a sacrifice. Worshiping God means laying down our desires and wills on the altar of God's goodness and mercy. When we believe God's truth in our hearts, it will produce godly fruit in our lives. The fruit is the evidence of the root. As God makes us more like Jesus, we will experience His work internally in the way we believe, and externally in the way we behave. Even though the troubling situations we face might not change, God changes us, so that our response to those situations will become more Christ-like. Fruit takes time to mature, so we need to persevere and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. The fruit of God planting seeds of His truth in our hearts will be evidenced in the way we live. Godly beliefs lead to godly behaviors. Godly attitudes produce godly actions. If God's truth is rooted and established in our hearts rather than lies, then the way we think will change. We will take our thoughts captive in obedience to Christ and not be taken captive by worldly thinking. We will think about our thinking and align our thoughts with Scripture. We will think like Christ thinks, not like the world, and we will increasingly have the mind of Christ. The way we feel will also change. Having feelings is part of being made in the image of God. We will feel our feelings, but our feelings will not control us. We will not suppress our negative painful feelings inward by pushing them down. We will not express our negative painful feelings outward without restraint. Instead, we will process our negative painful feelings upward with God. We will allow the love of Christ to control us, rather than the love of the world, the love of other people, or the love of other things. Ultimately, the way we behave will also change. We will offer our bodies to God as living sacrifices to use for His purposes. We will be good stewards of our bodies and take care of them as temples of the Holy Spirit. Our primary goal will not be to avoid pain and suffering, but to glorify God with our bodies. How about you? If you lived in agreement with God's truth, how would the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you behave change? Every time we turn away from our old ways of thinking, feeling, behaving, and believing, we are progressively dying to them and cooperating with God to form new godly patterns in our lives. But being transformed can be painful. Sometimes God has to break us in order to remake us. Sometimes He has to dig out weeds that are rooted deep in our hearts to create space for godly plants to grow. Sometimes He has to prune us to give us the time and energy to become who He calls us to be and do what He calls us to do. Sometimes God has to bring us to our knees to bring us to Himself. God tells us not to lean on our own understanding. But our old ways of thinking, feeling, behaving, and believing are deeply ingrained and very powerful. They have a strong hold on us. So we need to surrender our wills to God's will and trust in His wisdom and divine power, not in our own wisdom and willpower. Painful situations will happen in our lives. God tells us that in this world we will have trouble. But we can proactively do exchanges to prepare for the inevitable trouble we will experience in this fallen world. The good news is that what the enemy means for evil, God can work together for our good and His glory. God can bring beauty out of ashes. Our insufficiency can become the showcase for God's sufficiency. In the process, God grows us into oaks of righteousness, plantings of the Lord for the display of His splendor, not our own. The Holy Spirit produces real fruit in us, not plastic man-made fruit. Spiritual fruit is the result of being rooted and grounded in God's truth and love. We need to treasure the words God plants in our hearts and speak them over our lives. Doing that is like feeding and watering God's word in our hearts, which helps it to grow and bear godly fruit in our lives. How about you? How is God changing you? Spend some time praising Him for His transforming work in your life. The Christian life is meant to be an ongoing process of becoming more like Jesus. God makes us more like Jesus by saving us from the power of sin. But we should expect resistance to godly change from the world, the flesh, and the devil. First of all, we should expect resistance from the world. Other people are used to having us respond in certain ways, and they may not support the godly changes we are trying to make. But we need to be gentle and firm, like velvet over steel. We should also expect resistance from the flesh. Other names for the flesh are the sinful nature, the worldly self, the carnal self, and the old man. The sinful nature wants to stay in control, and will put up a mighty battle to resist being crucified. But we need to persevere. Finally, we should expect resistance from the devil. The enemy of our souls will not be happy when we desire to grow closer to God and follow his ways. The enemy is subtle, crafty, and deceptive. He will try to convince us that his thoughts are our thoughts, and that we are better than others and don't need to change. Or he will try to convince us that we are hopelessly bad people who can never change. But we need to continue following God with our whole hearts. How about you? In what ways do you experience resistance to godly change? Do you experience resistance from other people? How about from your own sinful nature? How about from the enemy of your soul? The enemy's schemes have always been to steal, kill, and destroy. He loves to isolate us in guilt and shame, but God calls us to be part of his body. Don't be a Lone Ranger Christian. Don't be a vulnerable stray lamb. The enemy prowls around looking for someone to devour. Don't be his lunch. Pray about ways you can connect with other believers. The church isn't perfect, because it's made up of imperfect people like you and me. Even in church, it can be hard to find a safe place where we can be transparent and not be judged. But there is strength in standing together. Be part of a small group or a Bible study. Ask God for a prayer partner to stand with you in your struggles. Come alongside one another. Support one another spiritually by listening with your hearts and pointing each other to Jesus, rather than giving advice or telling other people what to do. We can practice the following life skills so that we can be a safe person, even when other people are not safe. First of all, we can focus on God, not on other people, our own desires, our problems, our own wisdom and power, or a method. In addition, we can listen attentively and prayerfully when other people are talking, and not be thinking about what we want to say. We can love others well, by being a good listener. We may be the only person who truly listens to someone today. It doesn't mean we agree with them, but it does mean we care. We can also give other people space to communicate their own thoughts and feelings, and not try to be someone else's Holy Spirit. We can stop correcting, fixing, or trying to help and advise other people, in order to gain value for ourselves. We can stop insisting that our way is the right way, or the only way. We can honor other people, and train ourselves to be a more trustworthy person. We can stop repeating what someone shares in confidence, without that person's express permission. When someone shares something intimate with us, it can make us feel powerful, important, and in the know, so sharing without permission can be a tough habit to break. Finally, we can invite God to examine our own hearts. It's easy to see the faults of other people, but it's harder to see our own weaknesses. We can ask God to search our hearts and show us what we are blind to. This practice can help us grow in godliness. Jesus knew that all people are fallen, and he only entrusted himself completely to his heavenly Father. We are wise when we, like Jesus, entrust ourselves completely to God. How about you? Which of the following skills would you like to develop in your life? Would you like to focus more on your relationship with God? Would you like to be a better listener? Would you like to refrain from giving unwanted advice? Would you like to be more trustworthy? Would you like to ask God to search your heart and lead you in his everlasting way, the way of Jesus? We can continue to train ourselves to use situations that trigger troubling feelings or ungodly behaviors in us as opportunities for revelation. We don't want to miss opportunities for God to speak to our hearts and bring freedom, healing, and godly power into our lives. When God shows us worldly patterns in our thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and beliefs, we don't have to condemn, berate, or punish ourselves. Rather, we can thank God that he loves us enough to show us our sin. We don't have to respond to the inevitable problems of life like a functional atheist. We don't have to weed whack. And most of all, we don't have to go into the dark places of our heart, alone. We can invite Jesus to be with us, as we face the darkness in our souls. We can press into Him. He is light, and light always overcomes darkness. Jesus is the way to life, healing, and wholeness. Finally, we can incorporate the four steps of the Exchange Discipleship Tool more fully into our lives. Step 1 is recognize. We can ask God to make us aware of triggering situations, worldly thoughts, negative feelings, and undesirable behaviors in us. Step 2 is reject. We can renounce worldly lies in our hearts about ourselves, God, and how we believe we have to live. Step 3 is replace. We can ask God to demolish strongholds of deception that have taken root in our hearts and replace them with strongholds of His truth. And step 4 is rejoice. We can praise God for who He is and for producing godly fruit in us, fruits such as Christ-like thoughts, positive feelings, and desirable behaviors. How about you? Would you like to incorporate the following steps of the Exchange Discipleship Tool more fully in your life? Would you like to recognize more quickly the situations that trigger you? Would you like to reject more completely the lies that have taken root in your heart? Would you like to replace more deeply those lies with God's truth? And would you like to rejoice more often that God is good and that He is at work in you? As we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, He comes down to where we are and lifts us up to where He is. Ways we can humble ourselves under God's hand are by submitting our wills to God's will, aligning our thoughts with God's thoughts, surrendering to God's authority in our lives, allowing the love of Christ to control us, standing with God against pockets of rebellion in our hearts, fixing our eyes on Jesus, and living for Christ rather than living for ourselves. Humbling ourselves under God's mighty hand means we realize that we are totally accepted in Christ. We don't have to justify or prove ourselves. We have inherent God-given value, purpose, and meaning. We are not worthless. It also means we are deeply loved in Christ. We are never alone. If we have been born of God, His Holy Spirit lives in us, and He cares for us. God is always with us. We have a place to belong. We are not forsaken. In addition, we are fully forgiven in Christ. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We do not have to continue to carry our guilt or punish ourselves. We are not condemned. And finally, we are made new in Christ. God can, and does, change people. God can change us. We have a living hope. We are not hopeless. How about you? Take a moment to think about the power of the following truths. In Christ, you are totally accepted. You don't have to prove yourself. In Christ, you are deeply loved. You are never alone. In Christ, you are fully forgiven. You are completely clean. And in Christ, you are made new. You have a living hope. Closing thoughts. In the heart of the Garden of Eden were two unique trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. These two trees also live symbolically in the garden of our hearts. Although it might seem right when we choose to eat forbidden fruit, it leads to death every time, just as God had said. Eating forbidden fruit leads to spiritual death, which is separation from God. It leads to relational death, which is separation from other people. It leads to emotional death, which is separation from our feelings. It leads to personal death, which is separation from the person that God created us to be. And it leads to physical death, which is separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. The fruit is evidence of the root. Which tree will you eat from? How do you want to live? What kind of person do you want to be? Do you want artificial, dead, plastic fruit in your life, produced by your own human effort? Or do you want real, nourishing, life-giving fruit, produced by God's Word and His Spirit in you? Our lives are the evidence of what we truly believe in our hearts. Will we go our own way and lean on our own understanding? Or will we invite God to search our hearts and lead us in His way, the way everlasting, the way of Jesus? God has given us the gift of free will, and it cost Him the death of His Son. God has set before us life and death, blessings and curses. He tells us to choose life, so that we and our children may live. He invites us to love Him, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. Which way will we go? Which way will we choose? In view of God's mercy, will we offer ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice? This is our true and proper worship. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to offer myself to You as a living sacrifice. I want to worship You, and not the things of this world. But it is hard, and I need Your help. I cannot do it on my own. I look to You, and trust You to show me the lies I believe in my heart, and exchange them for Your truth. I will praise You when life is going well, and I will praise You when I face suffering and pain, because You are good, and You are always with me. I need Your divine wisdom and power. My limited human wisdom and willpower are not enough. I am not enough. But You are enough for me. I want Your fruit to be evident in my life. I want to be an oak of righteousness for the display of Your splendor, not my own. I choose to humble myself under Your mighty hand, and I believe You will lift me up in due time. In Your Son's precious name I pray. Amen.